Excellent.
Friends, we continue on this week with the second of our sermons in the sermon series called Giving It Up. Last week we talked about giving up control and allowing that control to go back into the hands of God. Today we talk about giving up expectations. That there are times in which we have expectations that we place upon ourselves that just are not realistic. Or sometimes we place expectations on others that just don't fit. And still other times we have expectations for what we're supposed to get out of life. And we place those upon God. And again, those just aren't realistic to the world in which we live. And so this week we talk about getting up on some of those expectations. And where one expectation breaks and falls apart, God is preparing a brand new future to portray a true way forward for all of us. My best friend growing up was this guy right here. His name is Aftab. And I met him when I was in kindergarten. When I was 5 years old, my world was very small before going to kindergarten. I didn't go to preschool, and so my world was really kind of wrapped up in my little neighborhood. And I never met a little Indian kid before in my life. And so when I heard him tell me his name, Aftab, I had never heard of the name Aftab before. I thought he was perhaps like other little kids that had a tough time pronouncing words. Perhaps he didn't know how to pronounce his own name. I thought his name was Todd, and so I called him Todd for the first few weeks that we were friends and probably drove him crazy. But we're friends together from the time that we were 5 years old in kindergarten all the way up through college. Sadly, after he graduated from Case Western, he went off to New York City, and he's lived there ever since, and we've only had the chance to see each other twice in those last 20-some years. But this guy was always with me. We'd get in fights sometimes here and there, but we always came back together within a few hours. Now, Aftab was my first real experience of what we would call prevenient grace. You know, that whole stuff where the Spirit of God is calling us forward into a new place of life, a new land. After kindergarten one day, he asked me, he said, "Hey, do you want to come play at my house?" And I said, "Yeah, that sounds like a pretty cool idea. I would love to come over to your house and hang out with you." So I made up plans. I was going to go over to his house, and Aftab lived in an unknown territory to me. As I said, my world was rather small, and as it turned out, he lived just down the street from me, but down the street beyond a busy intersection that I was never allowed to go as a child. It's kind of like Abraham being called into a brand new land, an unknown place. It was my first experience of expanding my world in Christ's name. My mom walked me down the street, and we just magically found our way to Aftab's front door, and it was kind of like we stopped right in the front of the house, and I walked up, and lo and behold, God had led me to the place I needed to be. Now, probably what may have happened is that my mom called his mom and found out what the right address was to make sure that we got to the right place, but I still prefer to believe it was God who led me to his doorstep. You see, God knew that I was going to need a friend like this guy in my life. Now, Aftab's a different faith than I am. I'm Christian, of course, and he's Muslim. But at age 5, that stuff didn't matter at all. All of those details of life that cause us to separate out and to fight as adults, they don't matter to you when you're little. And in light of the recent things that have happened in New Zealand and the attacks on the mosque, it breaks my heart when I think about all the details in life that we cause us to fight and to murder one another. Now, thankfully, with Aftab and I, our friendship was and is stronger than anything that could ever separate us in this world. But when I was 10 years old, our family experienced the first of what would be a long road of troubles. And when our troubles became public information and became a part of the headlines of newspapers, I lost a ton of friends. I lost a lot of friends during that time period, but I never lost this guy. Our family also tended to be every Sunday kind of church people. We went to Mayfield United Methodist Church. I had a perfect attendance badge of going to Sunday school year after year after year. Mostly because my mom was a Sunday school teacher. She made sure I showed up. But after all that mess happened in our family, we'd go and sit in the pews, and people would look at us weird, and we felt uncomfortable, and we just didn't want to be there anymore. And so we drifted away. But this guy's family, they never looked at us that way. And this inside of his home, I found a sanctuary that I so badly needed. Now, unfortunately, a couple years later, when I was 13 years old, like so many kids in their adolescent years, we all wanted to be so liked by people. And there was a group of friends that I became friends with that I thought were cooler than Aftab. They weren't. As it turned out, it ended up leading to a lot of trouble in my life. You see, these guys were angry at the world, and I was angry at the world, and we simply moved in the same direction together. And what was most regrettable about turning my back on my best friend was that these new group friends of mine, they like to make fun of Aftab like nothing else. And there are certain expectations that we have of each other when we're friends, and making fun of each other is one of those things that you have broken that. And I did nothing to defend my best friend, except to simply keep the harassment that he received from my new friends from getting too serious or violent. Now, eventually, these same guys that supposedly were so cool, they turned out to be not so cool, they turned their backs on me about a year later also, and guess who is still there waiting for me to come back? The guy who had always been there for me all along. And I think about that, by the time I was 9 years old, I had already given up the expectation that life was going to be perfect. I realized life was not going to be perfect. But when we get to the point of our unrealistic expectations breaking, what is on the other side of that is a God who is preparing a brand new future for all of us that is actually real and true. I gave up early off that I was going to ever find myself the expectation that I would be perfect. I failed my best friend pretty early off in life. But when on the side of that failure, when that expectation broke and fell to pieces, what I found on the other side was something that was real. It was God's forgiveness. And I saw it in this guy's eyes. When I was graduating from seminary, I thought to myself, man, I can't wait to be done with school, finally at long last. We talked about that in the service. Jen is in the process of going to seminary right now. I was like, I couldn't wait to be done writing papers, and you're writing a paper this week. I saw you working on it. I couldn't wait to be done with taking tests and sitting through long lectures. And I wanted to get out into the world because I was certain that God had equipped me to go and make a huge difference in the world. And one of the first things I wanted to do was to go back into the church and heal the church that I found to be so broken. I hate to admit this to you, but as a minister, before I was back serving in the church, I didn't like church people all that much. Because what my misperception about them is that all the church people were kind of holier than thou. And in reality, you guys all are probably holier than this guy right here. But I thought of you all as holier-than-thou kind of people and judgmental people because that's what I discovered when I was a kid, and that was the church that I ran away from. Now, thankfully, God cured me of that misperception. In every church that I've served in from the time I was in Atlanta to the present day, I have found so many amazing people in the congregations that I've served whose faith stories have made my life so rich, and I've been more than proud to serve as a minister in every congregation I've been appointed to. But as a young man, we all think that we're going to change the world. We're going to make some major difference when we get out into the world. And I look back now in these 20 years of ministry that started in 99 in Atlanta, and I ask myself, what difference have I really made? What difference has really been made? I thought that perhaps when we came together as a church that we would come together as one united love and there would be no fighting within our denomination. Well, it turns out that was not true. When I look at the fighting that happened, or the horrible tragedy that happened in New Zealand, I thought together, gosh, if we come together as God's people, then we can bring an end to this horrible hostility, the horrible fighting that happens. And then New Zealand happens, and I am totally knocked backwards. And so I think to myself as I go through that, I was like, my gosh, what difference has really been made? And for these upcoming years of my life, what direction do I need to go in? And I'm not certain that I can go further in the ministry. I've got to ask myself, Lord, where are you going to lead me? Will it be in the church or will it be somewhere else? And to be honest with you, that is a scary question that I'm asking right now. But when all of these things, when all of our expectations break and they fall apart, I have never been so convinced in my life that the only one who can heal the world, the only one that can establish a church in love, is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I realize my own part of the failure of that happening in this world. And I've never so needed my best friend by my side as I have this last week. And I've never prayed to God so much without ceasing, said, Lord, if you'll still have me, then I'll walk by your side wherever it is that you call. But I think to ourselves, what expectation do we have for life as Christians? Do we think that the world would be a rose garden? I don't know. I think part of me did think that that would be what would happen. That somehow that when we all came together in Christ's name, that everything would be made smooth, our paths would be made straight. But I just came to realize, though, that yes, it's a rose garden, but those roses come equipped with thorns that can and will be twisted into crowns. And so when our expectations in life, when all of your expectations of what you thought you were going to get out of life, when it starts to break, we can experience what we might call a spiritual crisis. And in that spiritual crisis, we come to a point in which we can break and we can say, this is a point of no return. There is no further, we go no further forward. I think that was where Nicodemus was when he came in the middle of the night to go see Jesus, that he had so relied and so surrounded his life based upon the law. He had dedicated his life to study and know the law without ceasing. But somehow in his study of the law, he still found something so absolutely empty in his life. Something was tragically missing. And he went looking to Christ to fill that void. And so when we find our own spiritual crisis, when we have our own point of our expectations of life breaking, when we have to let go of what was in order to allow something new to come, we can either break and go no further forward, or we can come to a point in which God builds a brand new future for us. And in that time period, maybe perhaps become spiritually awakened. So again, what do we expect as Christians? Do we expect to see a victory happen in our lives? I've got to be honest with you, I thought it was going to happen. I thought I'd see a victory in my life. I thought I would see the wolf lay down beside the lamb, the lion and the lamb lay down, and the people would stop fighting over all the little minor details in life that we choose to fight over, and that we would all find some type of unity, a common way forward in love. But friends, with any victory, with any struggle, with any kingdom of heaven, all of those things approach one road, and those victories can't happen unless we first go through the cross. It takes hard work. It takes sacrifice. And as Christ says, it comes to a time in which you have to lay down your own life, and you pick up the cross, he says, and come and follow me. And so Nicodemus came to Jesus in the middle of a night, because he was so desperately needing to fill that void that he found that was absent in his life. And he came asking all sorts of questions, and Nicodemus had literally looked at the law as his one way to find God's will in the world. But still he found an emptiness there. And so when Jesus starts talking to him about being born again, his mind is stuck in a literal sense. He couldn't quite fathom, he couldn't wrap his mind around it. But what Christ was trying to say to him is, unless you let go of all of your old expectations, he expected he would find everything he needed to by studying the law. Unless you let go of all of your old expectations, all of your old ways of doing things, unless you let them fall from your hands, then you will never find a new life in my name. That's what Christ calls to all of us. Those places where our expectations break, where we thought we knew where we were going, Nicodemus thought he knew where he was going. Unless we are willing to listen to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he calls us in a different direction, then we'll never find that new life that Christ calls us to. Abraham had to deal with it at age 75. How would you like to completely change your life at the age of 75? That when God called to Abraham, he says, pick up everything that you have and take all your family with you and go to the place where I'll show you. No, it was Abraham's expectation that he would die in the city of his fathers. He would live out the remainder of his days with his family, with his wife, in the city of his father. And had he stayed in Haran, that is exactly what he would have done. That would have been exactly the place that Abraham would have died. Except God had something new in mind for him. Abraham had to let go of old expectations and go to the land where God would make Abraham truly come alive. That's where God is leading all of us, to the place where we truly come alive. Abraham had to let go of those expectations in order to see a future that was rising in God's name, a future that was rising above the shadows of our present day. And maybe Abraham thought that God would make the road easy. But let's be honest, the roads of faith that we take are never easy. And the road ahead for Abraham was dangerous. It was full of tragedy and difficulty. But still, we are called to go. There's a part of walking the road of faith that requires a certain degree of spiritual toughness. And so I think about all the expectations that I've had to let go of in life. I let go of the expectation that I'm ever going to be a really good friend. Early off, I failed the very best friend that I've ever had in this world. But on the other side of that expectation dying, I discovered a lesson of reality in life, that God's forgiveness is so much stronger than all of our weaknesses. When I am certain that wherever it is that we go in this world, when we prepare to live a new life in Christ's name, that even if we find ourselves falling spiritually asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ will come and wake us up. If we find ourselves crucified for our faith, Christ will be on the cross beside us. If we find ourselves lost somewhere along the road to Emmaus and not really knowing which direction to go, our Savior will come and find us. And wherever it is we go, if we go in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus is waiting down the road. He's already arrived. He's waiting patiently for us to get there. Friends, expectations sometimes hold us in the past. And when those expectations of each other become unrealistic, it comes a time in which those unrealistic expectations must die. But on the other side of that is a reality, a truth that God is leading you into. And so, Lord, save us. Christ came into the world not to condemn us for all the mistakes that we have made or for the failures or for the broken expectations we have, but rather Christ came to save us. And so, Lord, save us from unrealistic expectations. Let us let him go. Let's give him up. And on the other side of that, discover the reality and the truth of God's all-embracing and powerful love. Amen. Friends, can you please stand for our closing worship?